to you because no one else will do it. You may be seated. Glory to God. God is good. And he's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our strength. We run to him because what? No one else will do. I said, no one else. No one else will do. Now, he can use people to help us, but we run to him to find out who he is using.
Amen.
And who he is working in and working on our behalf. Hallelujah. I'm excited today, glory to God, just because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Can you think of anything to get excited about? Because see, as long as he's Lord, I got a chance. Hallelujah. You got a chance as long as he's Lord, because he's merciful, he's forgiving, he's long-suffering, he's patient, he's kind. Hallelujah. And so as long as he is Lord, amen, we are going to be blessed and blessed and blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we are studying returning to the Lord this whole year, we've been talking about returning to the Lord. On last Sunday, we dealt with returning to the Lord by casting down imaginations. This Sunday, we are talking about returning to the Lord requires that we identify the besetting sin. There is a sin in every Christian life that seems to gauge our growth. And when I say gauge our growth, we can be doing well for a minute, and then the next thing we know, we're down again. Then we're up again, and then we're down again. Well, there is something that is besieging us, or besieged us, or beset us, to where it tells us how far we can grow in Christ. But I need you to know, before I get into my message, you have the victory over it. But the issue with a lot of us is that we won't identify, or we won't allow Holy Spirit to reveal to us what it is. And a lot of us, we don't want it to be revealed because we have a tendency, or we have a preference towards this thing. We don't want to let it go. It's somewhat of a security blanket. It allows us to still be in control in a sense of how we live and how we grow and how we do various things in our life. And you know, when we come to the Lord, he has to be Lord over all, or he will not be Lord at all. And so if we are not allowing him to be Lord over all, that is meaning that there is a sin or a weight that is besetting us, that is causing us not to surrender all to God. And I'm going to tell you the benefits of surrendering all. God is our keeper. He's our sustainer. He's our healer. He's our savior. He's our Lord. So the reason why the devil will keep that sin there, or will bring the sin ever before you on a consistent basis, is because he knows that if you ever come to the realization that God is your provider, that he's your keeper, that he's your healer, he's your sustainer, if you ever come to that place, then you will do as Hebrews says, and it says that some must enter into his rest and cease from their own labor. So then instead of us trying to make life work for us, we just flow with the Lord and let life work for us. Amen? Hallelujah. We'll let it work instead of trying to make it work. And a lot of times in our efforts to make life work, we still keep coming up short. Amen? Amen. But I want you to know that God's thoughts towards you is good. His thoughts towards you is not bad. Even though we are bad, thank God that his thoughts towards us are not. Now, but the issue is, do we agree with how God think about us? Is where our challenge is agreeing with what God thinks about us, saying about what God says about us, and it will give you authority in your life in every area. And that's my message next week. We're going to be talking about our understanding the authority that God has given the Christian over every circumstance in your life. Don't you know that God already know what you and I are going to deal with every second, every minute, every hour? And we will see one of the scriptures that we're going to refer to. We will see that God has it. He knows everything about us. Our reference text to the day is for the day is coming from Hebrews 12 and 1. Amen. And let us turn our Bibles there. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 1, and then we're going to go back to Psalm 139. Hallelujah. I want to lay a foundation for with some scriptures about the sin that besets us. Amen? And Hebrews 12 and 1, it begin reading, does everybody have it? If you don't have it, it should be on the screen. It says, Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, singular, which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, if this wouldn't mean anything unless we just backed up a little bit and see the cloud of witnesses and what they endured and encountered, amen, so that we can see what they went through, and they didn't even receive the crown, but they still went through these things on God's behalf. Let's just look at the 33rd verse. And it says of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So then we can get a better understanding about so great cloud of witnesses. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their death, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scorn, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, was tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, amen, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now let's read off our reference text again. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And how do we do that? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? Now, it says, wherefore, seeing we back to the reference text, seeing we are compassed about, or we see that so many people have had to endure a lot of things, but they did not allow their sin or no sin to stop them from representing the kingdom. The Bible said we were not worthy, the world was not worthy of these people's lives. I want you and I want me to live such a life, the world is not worthy of our presence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Not worthy of us being here. But it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which those do it so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. My emphasis is on the word beset. The sin that beset. The sin that beset. And so when we look up the definition of beset, it says attack on all sides, besiege, surround, hemmed in, assail, set upon, bedeviled, plagued, pestered, badgered, harassed, hound, agony, worried, And all of these things, it says that that's what that sin does. And the thing that I want to look at is that it surrounds us. In the Bible days, or even now, whenever you go to war, the way that you would win wars, you had to beset your enemy. And beset meaning that if your enemy was in a town, you would send your army and completely surround the town so they would have no way of escaping. And you can control their in and out and what they did. And the same thing, as I said earlier, the sin that besets us is the sin that gauges or measure or determine our spiritual growth. It actually determines how we grow. However, I need you to know that it's not God's will for any of us to have a sin that beset us. Amen. Now, let me show you something. Turn to Psalms 139, if you will. And we want to look at about the fifth verse. Now, we look at the sin besetting us as a negative thing. But I want to show you how God beset us as a positive thing. And so we need to lay that foundation of what beset means. Amen. In Psalms 139, and we're going to begin reading at the first verse of Psalms 139, and my emphasis is in the fifth verse. The first verse says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Now pay attention here. And it says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knoweth it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot obtain unto it. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost place of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, let's see what beset means. Beset meaning that God knows everything about us, right? That's what it says. It says God knows everything about us. God knows everything about us. Now, let's take this, let's look at what we saw about when he said, thou hast set before me and behind me and before me and laid thy hand on me, and then it explained all of that. So now this besetting sin is just as knowledgeable of our life as God is. So it knows when we are about to get a breakthrough. It knows when we are about to sail to another level in Christ. And this sin, this besetting sin, will do, as I said earlier, the devil will take the word of God and put you in bondage with it by saying that you know that you are not got the victory in that area. You know, whenever you're trying to stand on God's word, the devil will say, you know, that you're not really, really doing that. And so you need to respond to him the way that Jesus did when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You got to say, you know what? You're absolutely right, devil. You lie all the time, but you might have it this time. But you know what you didn't tell me. You know what? I know what you know that you don't want me to know. And what you don't want me to know is I got the victory. You don't understand. I read the word of God. I listen to message to find out what I need to work on. And because I see I need to work on it, here come you telling me, well, you know, you're absolutely right. I know that I'm not done it yet, but today is a new beginning. Hallelujah. So you giving back words like, no. That is the reason why it was revealed to me so that I can start doing something about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that I can begin to change. See, this besetting sin, as we saw how God knows everything about us, this besetting sin will gauge us. How many of you, it seems like you're growing in the Lord. It seems like you're trying to get it, and you're trying to get it, and you get to a certain point, for whatever reason, you can't go any further. You can't seem to push through. How many of you can in the morning when we are praying, you know, we're praying, Lord, bless this day and whatnot like that. And we're satisfied to know that, you know, today somebody may say something wrong about us. Somebody may falsely accuse us. Don't be satisfied with that. We need to get to the place where Holy Spirit say, today Bob on your job is going to do A, B, and C. Today you're going to run into traffic here and there. Today, you're going to do, we need to go to the place where we don't have general knowledge of the devil attacking, but we have specific knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because other than that, we are just like, oh, everything that comes, we'll think that that's the thing. No. The devil is going to come with the small attack before he come with the big. And he wants you to be concentrating on the small attack, so when the big one comes, it catch you right. Hallelujah. But we want to get rid of the sin that beset us. Turn your Bibles, if you will, with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea. Hallelujah. I just thought about that, so let me see which scripture it is. I know it's hallelujah. God is good, isn't it? I said God is good. Hallelujah. In the book of Hosea, hallelujah. God is good, isn't he?
God is good.
In the book of Hosea, let's turn to the 7th chapter. Hallelujah. The 7th chapter, we're going to begin reading at the first verse. Hallelujah. Everyone have it? It says, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troops of robbers fall without. And they considered not in their hearts that I remembered all their wickedness, now their own doing did what? Have beset them about, that they are before my face. Amen? Now, I need you to know that a lot of times it's our own doing, hallelujah, that causes us to be in prison. And what do we do that causes us to be in prison? The way we think. We got the victory. We got authority. And we be talking negative. Oh, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how that is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to do this for the Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do that for the Lord. All we got to do is just cast down those imaginations. Say, Lord, if you want me to do it, you have more than equipped me. Glory to God. You told me in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 20th verse, you said that I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you could ask or think according to the power that worketh in whom? In me. Hallelujah. So Lord, if I can think about it, if I can perceive that it's something that I need to do to glorify you, Lord, you said I got the power to do it. Hallelujah. If it's going to glorify him, say that with me. I have the power.
I have the power.
According to God's word, to glorify him in all my life. Hallelujah. You know, back in the early church, they made a list of sins, and it's not the only list, but it all depends on what Latin words you put in, you use or whatnot, and you're approaching this. And the list that they made, this is the standard list, and it showed the 7 deadliest sins. In other words, it is one of these sins that all other sin in your life grow from. So if one of these is allowed to work, then other sins get their power or their strength or their nurturing from one of these sins. Uh-huh. And the deadly sins is, I'm going to give you the list. You can write them down. You may be able to remember them. Number one is lust. I thought gluttony was, but number two is gluttony. Amen? Number three is greed. Number four is sloth, and I will come back to that in a minute. Number five is anger. Number six, envy. And number seven is pride. Amen? To be sloth, S-S-L-O-F-T, if I'm not pronouncing it right, it means that we are a people who are missing the mark, and we avoid doing what we know we're supposed to do. We're indifferent to evil. Even though evil can be around us, it don't bother us. We don't care about how other people are suffering. You know, it's like the way that the sin of sloth work. Anybody ever watch the news or the internet? And how many of you just heard about that Las Vegas shooting? And what did you say? Oh man, that is so sad. That is so sad. That is so sad. But you were still very indifferent. How many of you thought about the families? How many of you thought about the people? How many of you prayed and was like, Lord, I pray that they were saved? And you know, we know that if they was at a concert like that, they might not have been. But there was nothing that really, really touched you on the inside. It was just so I done got used to hearing things like this, people dying, you know, the fire in California killing people, the earthquake in Mexico killing people. And, you know, after a while, it's just become news. So it lets us know that we have a deadly sin working in our lives whenever we can't be. It don't bother us when people are suffering. It don't bother us anymore. So what happens is, even though we may be witnessing to people or giving out tracts or whatnot, there's still not a heartfelt desire for their salvation. There's still not an urgency for their salvation. An urgency that caused you not to be able to sleep because you're concerned about others. So I just want to let you know that there are sins that at work, and the deadly sins, they are the least ones to seem to make themselves known to us. They are known to other people in God, but to us, it is hard to, well, not hard, but they are subtle in how they work. They're so subtle that we don't even identify them, and that's what we're talking about today, identifying those subtle, underlining, under-the-radar sin that causes other sins to live or flourish in our life. So now, if we got pride, there's some other things that's going to, some other fruit of sin and other sins that's going to come from pride. If we got lust, there's some other things that's going to come from lust. What are some of the things that's going to come from lust? Then we are going to become sneaky in our looking at pornography and doing lustful things and, come on, doing all kind of other stuff. But a person looking at pornography is not the sin, it's the root of it. I mean, it's the fruit of the sin. The sin was lust. And lust will cause a person to do all kind of unseemly, ungodly things. Amen? And pride, oh man. Glory to God. Pride? Now, that second one, you don't bring up in the church. People will leave church if you tell them that gluttony is a sin. People would have actually left God because they would rather worship the belly than worship God. But I tell you what, it's that sin is very powerful. You know, they say in the world, eat, drink, and be merry. 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 Eat, drink, and just live and act you want to. Do what you want to. Eat, drink, and be merry. And we come to the church with that, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Amen. They call chicken the gospel bird. Mm. To me, I think that's an insult. I think it's an insult. Fried chicken, that is. I think that's an insult, because we Christians, spiritually minded, want to keep our temple and all we want to eat is fried chicken. I don't like that. That don't label me as that. That's not the gospel bird. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. Don't label me like that. I'm not going to accept that. Because I eat other things. Amen? But and then a lot of times we won't discipline ourselves in that area. And we wonder why we can't seem to break into certain things. I'm going to tell you something. Those seven deadly sins, they will keep you. They're huge. When I say huge, I need you to know they're huge. If you got something in your life, he's like, Lord, why can't I this? Why this happening? Lord, you know, I'm desirous of A, B, and C and whatnot like that. And God is like, and in this church, if you're in this church, you've heard about gluttony just about all year. Amen. You've been hearing about it just about all year. Amen. You've been hearing about it just about all year. Because God knows that that is a sin that will hinder your return to me. It will hinder your return to me. Because if I can't touch or correct or adjust any area in your life, that area is competing with me as God. And we get our little blessings here. We get a little sprinkle of blessings there. But we don't get the real blessings because of one of these deadly sins. Hallelujah. We have the sin of omission and the sin of commission. That would fall on the sloth, you know. The things that we know we should do, we don't do. And the things that we know that we shouldn't do, we do. And a lot of people say, well, Paul had a war going on in his memory. Paul had a war. He said, the things that I decide to do, those are not the things I do. It's the things that I don't decide to do, I do. And then he turned around and say, but I don't have no excuse. He said, who shall deliver me? O wretched man, who shall deliver me? And he said, who his deliverer was? Jesus. So he told you, like, listen, just because you got wars and you get thoughts and you get things going on in your mind and your body, it doesn't mean that you don't have a way of escape. Yeah, he showed that there was a war going on, but he also recognized who his deliverer was. And we know who our deliverer is. Amen. Hallelujah. So then we must identify that sin, that singular sin that is the nurturer or the birther of the other sins in our life. You know, I was reading this book. It was written by a witch that had been converted to the Lord. And in the book, she was talking about how, what's his name, that book, Prayer? But anyway,
he came to set the captives free.
But anyway, in the book, she was showing how that a sin is the opener or the door opener for other sins. It holds the door open for other sins, or it opens up the door for other sins. You know how when you come in, the greeter open the door for you to come in?
Yes.
Amen. Well, one of those deadly sins, if they are allowed to go unchallenged in our life, they will set up shop and become the greeter of other sins in your life. They will become the greeter. You know, if it's unforgiveness, if it's whatever it is, unforgiveness is not even one of the seven deadly. But unforgiveness will come if one of those seven deadlies is allowed to go unchallenged. If you don't do anything about it. And the thing about it is easy to know which one it is that's working in you. I mean, it is real easy. It is real easy. And it's easy because, record and report, God is such a loving God. He don't want us to be ignorant to the devil's devices. And so if you really want to know, Lord, How is it that sometimes I'm up, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, and that might last for a month or two, and I'm consistent, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and then bang, you know, like a week may pass, and you know, I haven't really done much of nothing, 2 weeks may pass, and yeah, I may, you know, I go to church still and you know, whatnot like that, but I don't have a devotion time where I'm making time for you. You know, if somebody called me up and want to pray, I will pray. But I'm not personally making any time for you. And so when that began to happen, you know that there's something at work that is causing some sin. That anytime you can't be consistent, it is because of sin. Anytime you don't have any discipline in your life, it is because of sin. Hallelujah. And a lot of times we want to look for certain sins. See, we don't have a problem identifying the leaves of a sin tree. But we need to deal with the seed of that sin tree. You don't want it to take root. See, when something takes root, it's a little bit hard to get rid of. When they cut down a tree, they can cut down all the limbs off it. They can cut the trunk down. But the hardest part of that tree is that root. Because that root go way down. And I always tell people, once the devil give you a seed of an idea that is not like Christ, don't you allow him to plant it in your mind. Because if it ever takes root, you will actually begin to accept it. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that this is the day that God says, even if those seeds of those deadly sins have taken root in your life, he wants you to know that he's deliverer and he continued to deliver. The Bible says he is our deliverer and he doeth deliver. When you look up the word doeth, it means continue. So I need you to know that, glory to God, you don't have to like just think that you have lost the fight. Because one of those sins is at work. Because he delivered you when he saved you. And he continued to deliver you. But you have to ask for that deliverance. Because you asked to be saved. Amen. Glory to God. The same way that you got saved. That's the same way that you're sustained in your salvation. You have to ask. You have to ask. You have to invite God in to your situation. A lot of us know we got some sin. We know we got one of these deadly sins at work. But we refuse to ask God into this sin. So therefore, this sin knows that it will be able to leaven the rest of your spiritual walk, the rest of your, it can put leaven in your prayer. It know it can put leaven in your worship. It know it can put leaven in your reading the word. It knows that it can compromise anything you do to pursue God. Hallelujah. Because it has the right. The Bible says the devil came, but he found nothing in me. If he come and find one of those seven deadly sins, he found something to work with. Hallelujah. And he'll allow you to put on the ore. He'll allow you to continue the ore, the presentation of a Christian, knowing that inside there ain't no real sustainable substance. There's substance there. The Spirit of God is there. But he knows he has the right to gauge it. He knows he has the right to beset or to only allow you to go but so far. He knows it. He knows it. And he also knows that those sins or that sin will also hinder certain prayers and answers to prayers that you are praying for. I tell you one thing that I learned as a single person. If you want your spouse to be delayed, allow one of the seven deadly sins to work in you. I went and made sure that none of them was working in me. When I say none, I mean none. Because I wanted my wife. Hallelujah. I didn't know who she was then, but I know I wanted her. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there something you want? And it seems like it's as if God has a deaf ear to those prayers. Anybody praying and seem like God got a deaf ear? It might be because one of those deadly sins. that's at work, and